phone to be doing it. Huh?
Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chemi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Good evening. Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And it's that time of the early evening that we discuss everything that is affecting our bread and butter. We discuss the money, the trade, and just to look at, you know, what need to be done, especially from an individual point of view, from a business person, we are a policymaker, a think tank. We are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia. This is a place, this is a platform that we bring about constructive conversation that are not only one directed, but conversation that encourage everybody to make sure that you partake and also shape the discourse and eventually also be able to shape, you know, the development of this country. There is, you know, it's a Friday and 6 minutes past the hour of, actually 7 minutes past the hour of six, and we are here until the hour of 1900 hours, and we are greeting you. Some of you, you are enjoying your Friday of February, and you know, you're having a cold beer, cold soft drink. You are enjoying your time with your family, or some of you, you are on your way to work. Some of you are going back home, and we are greeting you to say, let us continue pushing, let us continue pushing until you know, the wheel fall off. Because this point in time, there is a saying to say, as long as you are showing up and you do your best, it doesn't care. The economy of Namibia does not care about your mood, does not care whether you have a good relation with who and who. But if you are always showing up, you do your best, then your work will be able to be realized, and you'll be able to assist, you know, a lot of people. And yeah, be the main contributor to the Namibia that you want. Apart from looking at the opening of Parliament this week, and also looking at the opening of Cabinet, which were consecutive to each other, you may be able to see that the position is very clear, that every Namibia want what is best for Namibians. The lawmakers are saying they want to scrutinize the laws, and the executive, particularly the Cabinet, is saying, let's push. Let us make sure that we accelerate those laws. And the lawmakers are saying, let us scrutinize too, to make sure that we do not make the same mistake that we have done in the past. And we see some really positive development, new changes. And you see that boots are on the ground. And as it has been stated, it's not only to say dust must be seen. We must all be in the dust. And looking at the context of young people, this is not only the month of recovering, but the month of practically implementing your goals. Because January, we're trying to get our balance, we're trying to shape ourselves, but this is a month that not only to push, but to make sure that you do the real thing. Now, the conversation for today, we are going to look at trade, especially where China and South Africa is coming up with new deals, particularly almost the same as AGOA. And also to see where is Namibia into these things when our big brothers are forming trade deals, especially expanding the market that side of Asia. And also to look at what are the numbers saying, especially looking at Sino-China-Africa cooperation, to say in terms of numbers, how much money is Africa taking to China, and how much money Africa is taking into China is taking into Africa, and what changed the balance of trade. And also to look at what lesson have we learned, because there is always this thing, and I think it's with us, I don't want to say black people, but I think it's also part of a colonial mentality to say everything we have a problem, we blame those who have been here, And every time we have to look at ourselves and hold ourselves accountable to say, David, what you have done is not right. We have to shift the blame. But in economic development, the reality always kick in to say, in those years of us being in relationship with whoever we have been in relationship in terms of trade, what lesson have we done? If I have been selling maize to you for the past 30 years, now you have finished product, you have bread and pizza made from my product and you are selling back to me. I do not have you to blame. I have myself to blame to say I lack innovation and I shall not do that again. I need to make sure that I prioritize that aspect. But before we go to that conversation, let us look at what is happening in Zimbabwe. You know, the very interesting case study in Southern Africa is Zimbabwe, because Zimbabwe can be a very good motivational speaker if it has to stand up as it's already on its way to the top. Can be a very good motivational speaker to other states to say you can stand even against all the odds. You can stand even against all the odds where people, when they hear your name, that time in from 2003 to 2015, 16 there. If you see somebody from Zimbabwe, and it was really a bad thing, not really because the person have done something, but because them being referred to based on their country, because Zimbabwe suffered, lost between 100 and 150 billion US dollars that it could have been gained. It could have gained that money had it not been, these things of sanctions that happened after the early 2000. Particularly when the Chimurenga veteran of Zim decided to take their land back to themselves, and it angered a lot of people. But what is very interesting is that apart from international institutions, IMF, World Bank, EU Bank, African, even African Development Bank, not able to fund Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe is finding its way to the top. And last year, there have been predictions to say by the third quarter of 2025, Zimbabwe would grow with 6%. Its economy would grow with 6%. Its maize production and irrigations are getting shape. Its sales of platinum and gold is getting shape. But the development that we see are very interesting to say. International Monetary Fund is in Zimbabwe. IMF is in Zimbabwe and has reached a staff level agreement with, Zimbabwe has reached a staff level agreement with Zimbabwe. And this happened just to make sure that, there is paving of a way for stabilization and also strengthening macroeconomic management. And you realize to say, when Africa has been speaking about Bretton Woods institution and not being lenient to Africa, you must be able to understand that even the Trump's administration must accept and also understand. And with them, I think it's also a good thing because they also understand business. They say, no, you cannot continue operating the way we've been operating with Mugabe. Because sometimes it's also we have us to lose. Because if you are observing the development in politics when, and you are also seeing the confidence of E.D. Mnangagwa, and of, they are calling him smart, political strategist, because he has been around Zimbabwe, he has been leading in the shadow, and one of the longest serving, not head of state, but serving government official, because there was no ministry, Nangangwa was not, because he was Minister of State Security, Minister of Defense, Vice President, Minister of Justice, and he has been around. And looking at what he did with Zimbabwean economy, it's only that this thing of economy, they do not come day by day. But even the movement of people from Zimbabwe to other countries is changing, because things are getting, they are being stabilized. And looking at IMF, the same institution, looking at the staff monitoring program, which is aiming to consolidate recent stabilization gains, strengthening macroeconomic management. And this staff level agreement is also to look at credible track records and also support, create strategy on clearing debts and also this restructuring. And this is indicated to say it's another form of paving the way for financial assistance. And the reports are indicating to say Zimbabwe has endured decades, not 9 years, not one decade, but decades, 20 years to be specific, of hyperinflation, currency volatility, dependency on informal dollarization market, and it's still standing. There have been, when people are saying we can take a wheelbarrow to go and buy bread in Zimbabwe, it was not, it was an example being given to say the value of money was so down due to international pressure to that extent that even if you have 1 million Zim dollar, it's like you have maybe a $10 in the Namibian dollars, and it was so chaotic, and the banks were also relying on US dollar to make sure that you trade with international affairs. So in this aspect, that is a positive development, especially coming from that side of Zimbabwe, and we are yet to see how development is going to be, because Zimbabwe is a next big thing. Because if you have to go back after Lancaster House Agreement of 1979, if you have to go back there, then you see how the economy of Zimbabwe was growing. And at one point, it was known to be the breadbasket of Africa. Had it not been, what have happened, could it be that Zimbabwe would be the main economic player in the whole SADC, maybe in Africa? And could it be that it is not because of sanction? Maybe it would be the main thing in SADC, because remember, end of last year, end of 2025, a report of IMF is indicating that the potential of Zimbabwe is also based on its human capital. Because here, when we have master's degree in Namibia, we are saying we are being people. But you find quality education, British education, where somebody has 2 master's or 3 master's degree, but it's like nothing, because their quality education matters. But yeah, it's a conversation to be expanded. And you look at your next investment, look at Zimbabwe. And we must also stop kicking other people when they are down, because you find yourself expanding. You find yourself looking at, find yourself also one day looking at maybe a business interest in Zim. Because even the richest man in Africa decided to come and establish a pipeline which is going to Zimbabwe. Do not think he did not make his calculations, because he has seen that is where the future is. The future is in Zimbabwe. The future is expanding of Zimbabwean economy, and also influence, because they already have everything. They have gold, they have platinum, they have human capital. They just need financial boost. Maybe this IMF can be able to assist, but what this is telling me is also that to say, sometimes you are scared that you cannot stand on your own. But when the relationship come to an end, you can still stand and survive. Nobody thought Zimbabwe would be where it is now. Yes, there is still a lot of things to be done. But compare it to Namibia. Just give a practical example to say, how are Zimbabwean's SOEs? I like giving an example to say, why Zimbabwe did not lose its airlines regardless of its financial chaotic activities happen? Why they still have their airline? Why their youth unemployment are lower than youth unemployment in Namibia? Why their electricity is cheaper than electricity in Namibia? Then you must get a clear picture to say there is a lot to learn, especially looking at the economy of SADC and Zim in particular. So let's look at a short commercial break. Then before we go to the main conversation for today, we'll be looking at Sino-China-Africa relations, and also to understand when it comes to numbers, when it comes to statistics, how much is being made in Africa and how much we are giving to China, and what lesson can we learn. Then from there, we go directly to the conversation of the day, especially looking at a new agreement between China and South Africa, especially looking at products entering the Chinese market without tariffs, and maybe the next AGOA. It's the next AGOA of but you are not going to call it a goal. Maybe, you know, South African, or maybe SAGOA, because South African, you know, Growth and Opportunity Act, if you have to put it that way. But let's look at a short commercial break, then we can continue with the conversation for today.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal. Scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutete okoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushe indife nawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kongerewa, nora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! Mm. I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with business and economic segment, especially with me, David Shombe. And we are here until the hour of 1900 hours. However, you can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401 so that you'll be able to give your constructive criticism, give your perspective, your engagement, what you think, and what needs to be done. Give your expert opinion. Your expert opinion, because we are at a time where we have realized as a country that it's no more about who is known. It's about who can be able to do the job, because with our subsidized education system, it can also be tell you that a daughter of a peasant, a daughter of, you know, a proletarian will be able to go to school, study economics, study trade, study governance, then can be able to run institution of the state, and also can be able also to contribute to the national development, because capability matters. If we are equalizing the subsidization of education, it's already telling you that the playing field is going to be equalized. It's not only about those who have financial backing, but those who are able to do the job. Now, let us look at, there is a study done by Boston University, especially looking at the relationship between China, a country, and Africa as a continent, and also looking at the economic relation to look at what is the relationship in these economic relations, and in terms of trade, how are things flowing? And the data presented, especially from Boston University, on China-Africa economic relations are indicating that between 2012 and 2018, you know, Chinese investment in Africa has been increasing. However, between 2018 and 2024, there have been a decline in terms of flow, and it's now Africa feeding China in terms of, you know, resources. It's indicated that according to data, Boston University, Africa now send more financial flow to China than it receive, and it's a game changer. It shift the economic relation between Beijing and African continent. Now, between 2012 and 2018, you look at Chinese lending to Africa, at average was at $10 billion per year. And in 2026, it reached a peak of $28.8 billion US dollars. And at average, it was at $10 billion US dollars. However, when you are looking at how things are now, especially looking at Chinese lending, it's down to $6 billion, down to $6 billion. And analysts are saying there's change in the change, or there is a reverse in terms of trade relations. But analysts are also saying that Chinese government, they also have to relook at their lending. They also have to relook at their the payment plan of debt. However, there is also an indication to say African countries also become more cautious, and they are also looking at stabilizing of trade relations. And analysts are indicating that there are also stabilization in terms of targeted projects which are looking at economic viability. And one thing that we need to know, China's relation with Africa, there is a lot of advantages apart from looking at products that we also have here. If you look at bigger projects, if you look at the roads that we are traveling with, if you look at those bridges that that we are using, and you get those railways, you must also sometimes ask yourself and to say, who would have built those one? Is it really our Namibian engineers or our African engineers who did those things? But when you look at infrastructure development, you cannot ignore the contribution of China. However, the trade is changing. The balance is changing. And everyone is coming with a strategy. And do not think when somebody come to assist you or is in trade relation with you, he just come because he likes you. We are in business. And we must also understand what we need to do to evaluate what, you know, we are getting into. But the question is that, if you have a study from Boston University, how many of studies are done by Africans, especially analyzing, the relation between, Africa and China, and also look at the strength and weakness also, and what need to be done after, analyzing that relation, because assessment always matters, because when you have data, you may not, understand the whole picture, but you can get the direction of where you are coming from, and it can inform your decision. But if you are just on theory, if you are just on mutual beneficial relations to say, Viva Chairman Mao, you have assisted us here, but we are not doing the calculation, we are also not doing to ourselves a favor. And they expect also us to make our own calculation and also understand where we are able to move. And while we are there, if you have to also look at the levels of innovation which have happened, either it's in terms of technology, in terms of technology and also logistics, you must be able to understand that it's quite a positive development, especially relation between China and Africa. And the population of China and Africa is almost the same. And China has a capacity of the market and also of technology. And looking at the loans to Africa between 2019 and 2024, the highest was at 6.9 billion. And looking at that average is on 2.1 billion US dollars, then that must already tell you that there's a lot of things which have changed, particularly post COVID-19, where countries have to evaluate their restructuring, their debt restructuring plan, and also the development in general. Now, let us look at why we are here today. Why we are here today is when we look at new development, particularly duty-free access of South African market to China. We may look at this as something which is very far, but we are always reminded, even to our leaders of our central bank, to say when South Africa is scuffing, we are already sneezing. And that's why if you look at those years repo rates, we are always depending on South Africa decision. However, we are also starting to be a bit on our own, but overall, in terms of trade balance, you'll be able to understand that our main trading partner is China and South Africa, but the main trading partner of China is South Africa. The main trading partner of South Africa is China, not us. We are not in the picture. We are not in the picture based on that, and we depend, not entirely, but in most cases, we depend on what is happening in South Africa, especially their trade policy, their decision. And we are praying that there should not be chaos there. When there was xenophobia in South Africa, we were affected in terms of trade. Where COVID-19 closed the borders, we were affected. When 2024, post-election conflict in Mozambique happened, where they blocked the logistics of South African trade, we were affected. When it comes to last year, tariffs of imposition of 30% by imposition of 30% tariffs to South Africa by United States of America, we were indirectly affected, because that of which is happening in SA has indirect or direct impact with us, and it's quite crucial and also necessary to also look at what could be the impact. Is it going to be a positive impact, or is it going to be a negative impact, particularly when the big boys of BRICS are getting into their own trade deals, and what can we get from there? And maybe what Namibia has to do to make sure that we don't only look at to say, Chief, are you getting in trade with China? Chief, are you getting in trade relation with Russia? What can we do? Or Chief, what is your relationship? Can you sort out your relationship with the US? Because we also do not want to catch the fire. But what is very interesting, is that when you look at what South Africa is selling to SADC, for example, is less than what is selling to the whole world. And there are only two things. We are not saying China giving free access to South African to some South African products is bad for us, and we are also not saying that SA market trading with BRICS does not mean that we are not there, and it also doesn't mean that we are not necessary. That should not be what it means, but the interpretation should come to the point of asking yourself a question to say, is that part of a bigger strategy of shifting to the east? Because why do you think there are two things which happen in the course of the week. AGOA is extended with 1 year. SA is not invited to this year is G20. And also understand that when it comes to China and in South Africa, they are strengthening their relations due to the geopolitical changes, and also to see that is this part of also the trade desk which was established last year, particularly to survive the shock of South Africa tariffs by US. And you must also be able to make a study to say, when it comes to 30% in possession, it was looking like it was a big thing to South Africa, but I think it was not felt, and you must agree with it was not felt, although it was not felt for a very long time. Jobs maintained, people have shifted to the east. Now the question is that when our big brother is making this good decision of expanding his market, where are we? Where are we, and what are we learning? So let us look at the short commercial break. Then we can look at the conversation, and we can also look at some of the statistics, particularly the latest statistics of trade of Namibia, trade balance of December, and also look at what we have sold, and also maybe be able to understand to say, when this decision is happening at the global affair, how can we be able to navigate through? And also the aspect of diversification to say, who are you diversifying with? What have you learned in the past 36 years too? Who are you diversifying with? And also to look at, in terms of our businesses too, to say, if we have to compare what have happened now, access to the free market in China by South Africa, then you have to look at the shift in terms of economic relation of China and Africa. You look at between 2012 and 2019, where the average of lending money was at $10 billion, and they reached a peak of $28.8 billion. Then you understand now in this question to say, China, Africa has been an open market for external, investors. How many of African businesses are operating in China, operating in the US? How many of them? When are we going to get there? Look at the international ranking. How many of African standing businesses, apart from the man himself, Aliko Dangote group of companies, which went against all the odds to compete internationally? How many of African companies are competing at a global scale? And that is already telling you to say, you may think you are moving, but you are moving slow, or you are not moving at all, or you are just making sound, or you are moving at the wrong direction. So those are the things that we need to look at, especially trade and economic relations. That is, it's not really to say it's our weak point. It's something that we did not go into directly, and something that we need to continue learning. But let us look at a short commercial break. Then we can continue with the conversation, especially looking at trade relations.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM.
Evening.
Yes.
Yes, how's it?
Yes.
How are you?
Good evening.
Yes, how are you saying?
Sir David.
Yeah.
Good evening. I'm hearing the Helmut's voice there.
Come again. Helmut here.
Yeah.
No. I'm not Helmut.
I know you are not Helmut. That's why I say you are David.
Yeah.
But I got to open it, and then I heard the Helmut's voice just after, how many minutes now? Is it 18 or something like that, after 6?
Oh.
So this is usually your voice that you hear.
Oh, okay.
So how about
No, the situation is under control. It's a Friday.
Yeah, it's a Friday, but we have a lot of things we have got work. Unfinished work. Yeah?
Dust, we dust must be seen. It has been indicated to say dust must be seen everywhere.
Life what?
Dust must be seen. You did not hear what the Prime Minister used to say? To say dust must be seen. People busy working. We must see dust.
Yeah, yeah, true.
And we are saying we don't even need to see dust. We must just be in the dust.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know why we go and leave.
Yeah.
Sometimes we go and leave and people are working overnight.
Yeah, people are working 24 hours.
This is big, my economy. Nigeria, South Africa, people are busy working.
But in Namibia, can we really come to that point of working 24 hours, especially business? Because if people are already stealing car tires just in the middle of the day, even in front of cameras, and it's so shocking, what about starting operating at the night? Would it not be a critical scenario?
Yeah, you strengthen the security cluster.
Yeah.
And also the people to have a light in the street. I think we had that conversation where somebody was here with your colleague, the one who gives us support.
Yeah.
And then they're saying that in their country, they roll their games during the night. The people during the day, they are working.
Yeah.
At least it's true, security is a concern. But is that not a good also way of establishing some kind of security, strengthening it, and make sure that those who are providing in the light also, I don't know the type of where they should be holding them, but maybe because of the population, and also some kind of awareness creation.
Yeah, because my friend from Ethiopia, and he was indicating to say, when you look at Ethiopia, when you look at Rwanda, at some time they also have a 24-hour economy. To say the economy should not sleep, because if you are competing with bigger players, if you have a dream of becoming a bigger player, why should you stop after six while other people are still busy with...
You know, some of those constructions that we constructed in Windhoek, so when we were working with this Chinese and all these other things, so some people were working in the night, some during the day.
Yeah.
My friend, those big, long buildings that you see around there.
Yeah.
So they worked in the night and during the day.
Mm-hmm.
So people are building their economy, and especially, we were talking, I think this morning you read an article, you authored on this informal economy, what they did, how they did in January.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, because you have to start with those ones.
Yeah, yeah. And
those ones have to be protected now, because many of them are staying in informal. And they must, unless you have a logistic and transportation system that is so efficient, you know? Those are all areas of opportunity, guys, you know?
That's true.
So it seems that if you use with municipality and all these big companies and things like that, the security side, you see, those private security companies, those who are credible, you understand? So not the way you see it, most of the, I know it does happen in most of the time, they destabilize and come, you know? So those are some of the areas that you
tell me what do you think about Zimbabwe? People do not like success stories, because Zimbabwe is becoming stable. IMF was here 2019.
Cool. Yeah, what I said, my brother, what did you say?
What do you think about Zimbabwe? Because Zimbabwe is getting international attention and people do not want to speak about it. They managed to be stable, and we understand that the IMF now is there in Zim, and they are coming up with a 10-month program also to look at how they can also, find the different ways of maybe investing or financial support.
Because
that is the future. Yeah.
Where South Africa and many other countries are finding ways to sell their products. What is so discussed also for us to identify the product, I mean the market that is there. I heard when you were talking about Zimbabwe, I don't know like yesterday, sometimes you make references there. And the leadership and things like that. I'm very happy that they are really doing well.
No, they are becoming stable. And you are also not seeing a lot of our friends here anymore because there are projects happening there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So you see, we need to emulate them, those things. I think some of those examples, lessons we can learn from them.
Because one thing, What I see is that once Zimbabwe stand up, then all these countries we are going. If you are not moving fast enough, it's going to be a sadek leader in terms of the economy because they were already able to stabilize and stand up. They have their land, but they suffered, and now they stand up without external support. Imagine if now external support come. Because now they have a negotiation plan. Yeah, have you not even noticed Tate Nangangwa when he was speaking at the World Governance Forum? He was having more power.
He was saying to us, he told us about that one, actually.
Yeah.
And I was so impressed in how he is really positioning us, you know, that global leaders, global whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I just heard it and I follow you how you were explaining to us and things like that. At least we also need to just do a lot. I think we are in a way, let's just identify the areas of opportunities like they are doing. You most of the time you speak about them and things like that. I'm not sure how we are really organizing and have some of those institutional structures. Like we were talking about this morning. Now we are hearing now AR is integrated, being integrated into all this business. And you know what you're telling us about that thing? So, and then if we have our companies, we have established our company and we find out that they are not too moving and all this kind of thing. Some of them are not even making it, even break even. So these are the services that are there to help us penetrate because the emerging market that's coming. So I don't know, we're talking about security cluster. Even the president is also concerned about, she already mentioned about issues of magistrate and things like that, targeted and all these things. You think the Namibian police alone can compact some of this?
Come again?
So you want to have some credible institutions that you work with the state in terms of security to protect you.
Yeah, but they are there. The police is working. It's not only, they are saying the police is on TikTok until the time that they are looking for you. They look like they are not working, but they are, when they are looking for you, Namibia become very small.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. Yeah. But I'm saying that their effort needs to be complemented so that they can do, because alone they cannot do. So if you go to areas of like crime, wind, urban areas and things like that, the crime there is very limited.
Yeah, but there is
the police are not there, the security and those neighbor ones.
No, they are working. There is one guy, what is the name again? One deputy commissioner from Oshana who was redeployed to the headquarters. Very excellent record of finalizing cases. The head of crime, is it the commissioner Jadira, I think? It's Jadira, yeah. But you have them. They just need to train more.
They are doing a lot. But I know, so they also need some assistance.
I think it's just capability and also resources and finance also, because the police officer was supposed to be a very important person in Namibia.
Yeah, housing issues, you know, especially the commissioner was. Highlighting that in housing, and we remember that the corona during that time, the was improving their housing condition and things like that. So that you can you can really motivate and make sure that they are readily available. So and then that they can also work with the community within there. Now, because sometimes some of those challenges and things like that, and we just need to, you know, to really assist them.
Okay.
In many ways. Yes, many, most of the students, even when you see somebody being robbed in town there, very hard for people to react.
Okay.
I understand you need to protect our life.
Yeah.
Very dangerous. But I will, sometimes you always find some wisdom in use. Making sure that the person is, you know, the information, whatever the case may be.
Thank you.
Welcome, sir.
All right. 10 minutes before the hour of 1900 hours. And you are listening to Business and Economic segment. We are looking at economic relations. And also, one thing that maybe we should start intensifying is human-to-human relations. Because I look at, I have more interest in international trade. I look at, you know, what relationship we have with other countries. And I also look at if we have this relationship at state-to-state level, do we have it at person-to-person level? There are countries in Namibia that you don't hear, maybe because you don't engage, but it's just at a state-to-state relation. But are the Namibian business people working together with the business persons of the other states? Yes, Zambia, Zimbabwe, Botswana, South Africa, you can see. But you can find Czech, you can find many other countries, embassies in Namibia. But you're asking yourself, what is the trade benefits from that? And human-to-human relations. How many Namibian business people are in India? Even if our relations are, we're not in that, in that aspect. How many Namibian business people are in Nigeria? How many trade facilitation happen between that? Because when you observe to say, yes, we are transforming now to economic diplomacy, but it was more like on solidarity to say, you help me during war, I keep these relations. How many of Namibians have businesses in Russia? Because we are no more at the war, although the world is at war. But in this context, when you speak about economic relations, you must ask to say, okay, apart from school and also scholarship and all these things, when it's come to the real economy, how many of our products are being sold in these countries? Because I remember, was it last year when Director for International Relations and Cooperation South Africa, they said, no, we are making an evaluation and shutting down some embassies that are not productive, and they are only going to be operated through consulates, which is quite understandable because in the game of relations, it's business across the board. And the more resources that you are putting in, you are expected to come out with more resources. That's why the human-to-human relations is something which is very important. Because after the president have met, the ministers have to meet. After ministers have to meet, officials have to meet. After that, then the business-to-business have to come together and discuss. Then human relations can be built. So that is a conversation. And also to ask ourselves a question to say, when big boys are industrializing, what are we doing? Because industrialization, value addition, has been part of everybody's campaign, has been, and is still at the center of NDP6. But the question that we are asking, what are we busy dealing with? What are we busy dealing with currently? Are we industrializing? Because that is what Vision 2030 is saying, in industrialized Namibia. But what have we done should be appreciated. But dust, we must be in the dust developing this country. So let's look at the short commercial break. Then we'll look at some of the statistics. Then we'll be able to hand over the big mic or hand over the mic to Uncle Fly Ndoka Pateka Toka to look at Mtuma and also see what you know, they have for us today.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe utite opoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala kono ngeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune uto otukwetira o special getashia kengeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumuna oijamo ili nawa ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu omafelane Eagle FM dia.
Yeah, it's 56 minutes past the hour of 1800 hours, and you are listening to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And conversation for today was looking at what Namibia is getting when the big boys of economy are playing, and also to look at our own problems. I was speaking to one economist today to say, the way we treat our domestic businesses, the way we treat our domestic businesses, our domestic investors, and the way we treat our international investors is quite different. The way Namibians we are talking to each other and the way we are talking to people from other countries is quite different. And that should be dealt with, especially when this mentality of saying you are from home, you must wait, has really deprived a lot of Namibians opportunity, especially young business people. Because if the domestic investor, the domestic businesses are not upgraded, that you can stay with, that you can rely on, what make you sure that you will get the direct benefits from international companies or international institutions? I'm not against any international institution, but I'm just an observation, because you know the first economist I spoke to, even domestic businesses also, they are saying, let us look inward. Sometimes the solution that we have been running around, we go around all the countries, but realize that the solution is just at home. The solution is at home. And if we empower who are ours, then the solution is home. Just think about this. We treat guests in beautiful hotels. We treat them with courtesy, give them hugs and give them gifts. But just across the corner, you have Namibians who are suffering, who need assistance, either is financial assistance or either is medical care. And the strong enough we are too few to be poor should really be practical by everybody. Not only by those who are in government, but by everybody, to say, why should I leave a person in the corner of the street? Then I'm going to impress somebody who I do not even know for a very long time. Yeah. This will bring us to the end of our conversation. Remember that the Villager newspaper for Friday is out. And make sure that you share and you like that page so that you will not be able to miss out. Download the page. Download the content so that you will not miss out. So dear listeners, from me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around, and enjoy your weekend. Take care of yourself. Don't do what you don't want to be done to you. Bye-bye.